The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning to all on this Thursday morning, the 22nd day of October, 2020, T-minus 12 days to go, 12 days to save America. And about 12 and a fraction hours before it is debate night number two and debate night number last. This is it. The face-to-face meeting between President Trump and Vice President Biden. That will be this evening in Nashville. And so I got a lot of thoughts about where that might go, how it might unfold, what I'd like to see happen. This could be a fascinating morning of Senate drama. Today is the day that the Senate Judiciary Committee is set to vote the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett, vote it out of committee and onto the floor of the full Senate. There are 12 Republicans. There are 10 Democrats. Obviously, plenty of votes exist, even if Democrats didn't even show up. And guess what? That's exactly what they may do. There was talk, as yesterday unfolded, of a Democrat boycott. Now, we've seen a lot of histrionics and a lot of drama and a lot of hand-wringing and a lot of irrelevancy and a lot of sleight of hand because the Democrats are truly powerless here. And what a turn of events that is. Usually, I feel like for most of the last, 40 years, it's been conservatives who have been just up the creek without a paddle, unable to fight back against the stranglehold that the left has put on American policy and American culture. Well, we got this one. We've got this one. A constitutionalist woman is going to be on the Supreme Court. And because of actual elections, the election of President Trump, the election of a Senate majority, the Democrats cannot do a thing to stop it. So, like the petulant children that they have become, they may not even be in the room this morning for the taking of the vote. So, whatever, guys, whatever. Oh, let's see. We had Barack Obama out on the campaign trail for Joe Biden at a it's funny that it was a drive through like a big sports park in South Philly. And interestingly, why do you deploy Barack Obama in Philadelphia, which I think is going to be reliably Biden? Why don't you send him, to Ohio? Why don't you send or somewhere else in Pennsylvania? I don't know. It's easy to overanalyze, but I got some side by side Obama and Trump audio because Lord knows there's no Biden audio from the campaign trail because he's in debate prep. Ah, yes. Debate prep. We still have the continuing fairly nebulous but fairly smelly story of the Hunter Biden laptop. Is that going to be a big deal in the debate tonight? Is it a big deal to anybody, or is it just kind of scoring points? The suggestion that Joe Biden might not be being particularly honest about his entanglements with his son and Ukraine and China and influence peddling and money and all of those things. So we'll talk a little bit about that today as well. So the stage is set for all of the above. Grab a line, 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. As we take a deep breath and do what we should do first. Lord, we ask you this morning for wisdom and for goodwill. We ask for the wisdom to navigate all of our problems from COVID-19 to social strife to all of our political differences, to fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we try to reclaim our lives here in the virus era. We pray for success for the minds who are working to help us with a safe vaccine. Let us lift up those people whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions, more of which could be on the horizon as the numbers tick upward. Help us to find smart solutions to all of our social problems, any social ills we might have, even as troublemakers take advantage of this to try to divide us. Because amid these divisions, let us treat each other with respect and patience as we work together to change what should be changed, but to resist anyone who would take this opportunity to destroy vast portions of our history and our culture. Remind us, Almighty God, that in these most challenging of times, that you're always here to unite us to follow your guidance as we work on all these problems, to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So, I'm going to ask Uncle Mike at 7:35 what he wants from the Trump performance on the debate stage tonight. Everybody was hammering me about this yesterday. What do you want him to do? What's the best thing he can do? The big question was, in a weird way, is the muted microphone a mixed blessing, or maybe not even a mixed blessing, maybe an actual proactive blessing, because it'll keep him from being Mr. Interrupty Man, which probably was not good in debate number one. And I don't know. You got to see how it plays out, because other mics will be open. While Joe's talking, his mic's open. Kristen Welker's mic is open. And do understand, President Trump will be debating two people tonight, his two opponents, Joe Biden and Kristen Welker. Will Ms. Welker have a certain self-awareness that might mitigate an otherwise liberal urge to be as protectionist of Biden as Chris Wallace was, to be as not as much of a campaign operative as Candy Crowley was in the Romney Obama debate in 2012. And speaking of Barack Obama, doggone it, what I want, let me do things in order or I will get scrambly brained. In terms of the president tonight, I want him to be relaxed. I want to have good humor. Let the game come to him. But I do want him to be aggressive. I don't want him to go soft on Biden. If Kristen Welker doesn't ask questions about corruption and Hunter and the laptop and influence peddling and money and China and Ukraine, I want the president to look right at him and say, Joe, it's time for you to answer these questions. Lord knows the dominant media culture is not going to ask you. I'm asking you, and millions of Americans are asking you. Might also be time to give Joe an opportunity to not answer the court packing question again. I'm asking for an interesting mix from the president tonight of patience, yet energy, of lay back and let the game come to you, but focus and go in with guns blazing. I'm looking for that, for a certain balance of all. And you know what the good news is? Every single one of those things that I just mentioned, every single one of them is thoroughly within the Trump spectrum of personality. Now, Barack Obama on the campaign trail yesterday in Philadelphia. Certainly appropriate for, you know, Biden was his vice president. Many have asked why he hasn't been out doing more. And some people say that deep within Democrat circles, they are concerned that this might be 2016 all over again. That maybe the pollsters and the mood and all the punditry are just wrong. And guess what? Here comes a surprise. He wins again. And because of that, they feel like they needed to deploy Obama because Biden flat out needs him. I don't know. Can't read minds in Democrat circles, but there he was anyway. And there was Barack Obama trashing President Trump specifically. And I guess this should surprise no one. And obviously, any Trump supporter should say that this president himself has certainly given a sharp elbow to a number of norms and a number of given rise to a number of etiquette violations. So it's not like, he's been a Boy Scout. But there are some really, decades long standing, more than decades long standing traditions, and that is of former presidents not specifically savaging their successors And you know who some of the biggest practitioners of those good manners are? Democrats. Did you see and hear Bill Clinton in 2004 out trashing George W. Bush? No. Did you hear Jimmy Carter? Oh, and Jimmy Carter remains bitter to this day. And God bless him. He's 112 now and has a long, happy, healthy life. Did you hear Jimmy Carter in 1984 trashing Ronald Reagan? No. This goes back a while. You know, but I suppose LBJ, who's no Nixon fan, could have been out there slapping Nixon around as he ran for re-election in 1972. Did that happen? It did not. Let's come back a little closer into the modern day. Could you find Bush 41, who had every reason to still feel the sting 4 years later after his loss? Was George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush 41, out there beating up Bill Clinton in 1996? No. You know why? Because you just don't do that. You just don't do that. Well, those days are gone. All right, 866-660-5759. Got audio, got calls. Let's do calls first. Let's go to Arlington Joe. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir? Happy Thursday.
I'm just fine. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted you to know I have been a never Trumper since the 2016 election.
Yes, sir.
Not a bitter never Trumper. I just don't like the guy, and I planned on never voting for him.
Yes, sir.
But after the Kavanaugh hearing, I said, I don't think I can vote for a Democrat.
Well,
and then after the impeachment,
yeah.
I said, I never can vote for a Democrat.
Look at you.
And then, I watched the primaries, and I actually sent money to Tulsi Gabbard because I really liked her.
She's a neat
lady. I have a daughter in the military, mm-hmm. and I like somebody who doesn't want to go to war.
And Tulsi also has, as Democrats go, a certain courage to rattle her own party's cage. And she's a figure of decency and courage. I like her, too.
Yep. And so I wanted to support her. But then the Democrats, of all things, join together and nominate an absent-minded old man. and I think you and I are about the same age.
Yes, sir.
You know, I didn't even have a driver's license when Joe Biden went to Congress. There is no way I'm going to vote for a man that's been around that long. No way, no how.
Yeah,
and I early voted, and I voted for Trump.
Well, however you get there, Joe, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. That was a roller coaster ride. Let me throw something in here because there was a lot of moving parts there. How old somebody is kind of funny. He was talking about how long Biden's been around. I mean, that's how long he's been around in politics, but Trump is not that much younger than Biden. He's been around too, but been around as a private citizen, been around a businessman. I don't care about how old anybody is. Do not care how old anybody is. I care about what's in their mind, what's in their heart, and what coats their spine. What are your ideas? What is your agenda? What is your passion? Are you strong in defense of those things? That's what I care about. And if those boxes are checked, then I don't care how old you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what sex you are. In a time that is just obsessed with all of the above and so many sideshows, and with regard to the president about, you know, things that might be in his past or things that might be in his personality set right now, et cetera, et cetera. Golly Moses, what a parade of irrelevancies. The prime question for anyone is what kind of country do you want? And if you want a country of higher taxes and you want a country that will shut down our domestic energy industry, and if you want a country of weak borders, and if you want a country that will kowtow to jihadists, and if you want a country that will continue to force environmental extremism down your throat, and if you want a country that will continue to race bait, and if you want a country that will continue to disparage police, and if you want a country that will continue to look the other way when leftist violence rears its head, then you are a Biden voter. Go do that. If that's not you, then you have to do everything in your power to stop the Biden presidency. You do that with your vote. You do that by going to that mobilization effort that our company is associated with, the KeepAmericaAmerica.com, the Job Creators Network, KeepAmericaAmerica.com, big get out the vote effort. And then my favorite thing, who do you know in Ohio? Who do you know in Pennsylvania? Whom do you know in Florida? Your set of friends and family and, you know, old college buddies, whatever, in really important swing states. Get on the phone. Get them to the polls and have them bring 10 people. Describe to them how important this is. All right, how important is tonight's debate? We'll take a look at some of the early morning journalism on that, and then we'll go to the headlines with Gordon Griffin, our conversation with our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher, all of this on a busy, active Thursday show. Glad you are here. Glad you are a part of it. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 722. You follow your love me right back. It kind of love will keep you coming back. Well, all right. Don't ever leave me, girl, no, don't me. On the musical birthdays. Don't walk away. Give me another chance. You love you the right way. Shaggy. Why not, man? Orville Richard Burrell. He's 52 today. I know he could have done Angel or any one of a number of other tunes. It wasn't me. Boombastic. Anyway, all right. We got a debate tonight. There's Mary Bruce on outside the location there at Belmont University in Nashville.
Well, the stage is set and the stakes are high here tonight. After the disastrous first debate, Americans tonight are looking for something better, some more substance. Joe Biden's goal tonight is to try and speak directly to the American people.
Why is it that only Biden speaks directly to the American people? Well, you know, when is the last time you heard somebody in the dominant media culture say that what President Trump is going to do is speak directly to the American people? Is there anybody who has spoken more directly to the American people than Trump in like the history of the presidency?
To do no harm to his campaign while President Trump is badly in need of a win.
What?
12 days to go, and just hours from now, the last best chance to change the direction of this race.
We're going to win 4 more years in the White House.
Down in the polls and on defense, President Trump is looking for a badly needed boost.
Okay, down in the polls, that's mathematically true. On defense? On defense? Is Trump ever on defense?
After their chaotic first face-off.
You just don't.
Here's the deal. I know a lot more about this.
Let him finish.
The debate commission is trying to prevent a repeat of those relentless interruptions with an unprecedented move, muting the candidates for 2 minutes at a time when it's not their turn to answer questions. Trump's not happy about it.
I think the mute is very unfair, and I think it's very bad that they're not talking about foreign affairs. They're supposed to be talking about foreign affairs.
But that's not the case. The topics are up to the moderator. Ground rules Trump agreed to, while the president has been blitzing key battleground states.
Thank you, Arizona. Get out and vote.
Joe Biden has been laying low, off the trail. The former vice president telling our ABC News affiliate, WISN, he knows the debate is going to get ugly.
He's kind of signaling that it's all going to be about personal attacks.
It's not going to be about personal attacks. It's going to be about whether you're a crook. It's going to be whether your son is compromised. It's going to be about whether you're involved in influence peddling.
Try very hard to focus on the issues that affect the American people and talk to them.
And while Biden hunkers down in debate prep, he's deploying his biggest heavy hitter out on the campaign trail to energize voters.
Honk if you're fired up.
Former President Barack Obama at a drive-in rally in Philadelphia, unloading on Trump in a blistering rebuke.
The thing is, this is not a reality show. This is reality. And the rest of us have had to live with the consequences of him proving himself incapable of taking the job seriously.
And as I mentioned before, did Bill Clinton get out and trash George W. in 2004? No. Did Jimmy Carter get out and trash Reagan in 84? No. Did LBJ get out and trash Nixon in 72? No. Did Bush 41 get out and trash Bill Clinton in 96? No. So here we are. Here we are. All right, here we are at news time. Let's hop in and listen to Gordon. Come back and listen to our buddy, our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher. See what he is thinking here on the morning of the debate. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 732. All right. We have a birthday. Pineapple Princess. He calls me Pineapple Princess. Got to be a little older than Mike. Got to be a little older than me. This is from the year of Mike's birth. 3-month-old Mike Gallagher was crawling around doing something when Annette Funicello cranked out Pineapple Princess.
And then she was a big star.
Yes, huge. From Mickey Mouse Club, of course. And then all of those movies with Frankie Avalon. I mean, Beach Party in 63, Muscle Beach Party, Bikini Beach, Pajama Party, Beach Blanket, Bingo. These things were blockbusters. They were huge. Annette Funicello passed away, I think, about 7 years ago. She would have been 88 today, but that is our
okay, I got my 6 degrees of separation or whatever story.
Okay, here we go.
So Denise and I and another couple when I lived in Albany, New York, we went to some little, this is the saddest story. I shouldn't even tell you this story. We went to this little, like, Dewdrop Inn in way upstate New York to see Annette Funicello perform like a nightclub act. And it was the saddest. It was like there were like 60 people. Well. It was a little bit like Obama campaigning yesterday for Joe Biden. I mean, nobody there. I was clapping so loud for her. Oh, honk if you're fired up.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, you know, Mark, this really hit me last night. I was looking at the two images of the two campaign stops. Here's Trump with thousands. I mean, it was as far as the eye could see with the cars waiting to get in. Of course, thousands of people in the rally. You talk about a head-snapping, dichotomy. Here, you look at the Trump rally and you think, all right, there's thousands of people who are willing to roll the dice. Because let's face it, if you're in with a bunch of people right now, you're rolling the dice a little bit. We all are sort of rolling the dice. We don't know how or when or if we'll ever be exposed to this virus. No idea. Mm-hmm. No idea. So you can roll the dice. You got a 98% chance of being fine, 99%, whatever it is. We know what the mortality rate is by now. Or you lock down, you stay in your car. You do what Ireland's doing. You heard what Ireland's doing, right? They've just announced a 6-week nationwide lockdown. You're not allowed to leave your house. You can go within like a half a kilometer or something of your house only to get groceries. Police are on the streets. 6 weeks. Now, Mark, listen carefully to Joe Biden yesterday, an interview he gave to WISN in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Believe him.
He still doesn't have a plan, but I do. I put my plan out in March. You can read it all online. Go to joebiden.com, and it starts with a mask mandate nationwide.
Now, I can't wait till people in Dallas are forced to wear a mask or they're going to face fines and have some kind of police presence or some kind of penalty if you don't have a mask.
I can't wait
the second you walk out the door.
I can wait till people in Casper, Wyoming are forced to wear a mask. People in Butte, Montana. I can't wait.
Or Cala, Florida.
That'll go over big.
It'll be fine in New York City because they're already doing
it. San Francisco, they'll get it. They understand.
But here's an interesting thing about New York's mask. And I've been here for a little bit, and I've been just taking it all in.
Good morning, you're
welcome. Yesterday, I drove out to Brooklyn because you might have heard the story of the little kosher deli that got served by the goons of Cuomo's, army.
I think the guy was on Tucker last night.
He was on Tucker.
Tell everybody the quick story.
So this guy got a little tiny little deli, 2 indoor tables, wouldn't allow any indoor dining. But one day, a couple days ago, he propped his door open. Mm. He was promptly served with a summons to appear in court, pay a thousands of dollar fine for violating the restrictions in the Brooklyn red zone. Because now King Cuomo has decided to target different neighborhoods and say we're going to lock down. And rather than lock down the 5 boroughs of New York, we'll just target a neighborhood. We'll say you're a red zone because it's spiking because you got 9 more cases. Oh, my gosh. So they'll target that neighborhood. So he's in a red zone. zone. Somehow, because he had his door propped open, no indoor dining. And what he did was he had the wherewithal to whip out his cell phone when the guy came marching in to give him the court summons and said, and the whole conversation is recorded on tape. And he's got the guy on tape and he's saying to the guy, I propped my door open. It's warm today. I can't prop my door open. I'm not serving anybody in here. And Mark, the video shows there's nobody in there.
Right.
Nobody. It's an empty little two little tables that are with the tables up on the table or the chairs up on the table. They're not. He's not serving inside. Guy said, "Doors open. Can't have anybody come in." Blah blah blah. He says, and this Jewish business owner. Now this is what's fascinating because the Jewish community in New York is convinced that de Blasio Cuomo. Absolute anti-Semitic, don't care about what Jews have experienced in this world for all of time, what they've been through. There's a claim of anti-Semitism.
Well, and maybe, you know, and maybe, well, listen, you're right. And maybe some of those people, I'd like to gather 100 of them at random. Maybe some of them need to rethink their decades of Democrat voting, I'll just say. But go ahead.
There's no question. In fact, that was my other thought. Anyways, I'm driving out to Brooklyn because I wanted to go out there and give the guy a couple $100. Just say, hey, I wanted to
Good
support
for you,
you,
man.
Well, but hey, forget me.
Yeah.
This guy, he can't keep up with the business. He can't. He's hiring extra people. He's being flooded with orders for bagels and lox.
Tremendous.
He's doing great.
He was too busy to accept your pittance of a couple of $100.
You want to know how busy he was?
His kids are going to college now.
I wanted to order some scrambled eggs. Only 2 points for me.
Yep.
I couldn't. He wouldn't answer the phone the whole ride out from Manhattan to Brooklyn. He couldn't pick up the phone.
Awesome.
When I got there, the phone was ringing off the hook. But here's the other interesting thing. As I got closer to this deli in Brooklyn, on Coney Island Avenue. I forget the name of the neighborhood in Brooklyn, but a big, big Orthodox Jewish community. Nobody's wearing masks. They're out in Brooklyn. Everybody's walking around. People are on porches gathering. Now, you could say there is a correlation here because if there is a hot spot, quote unquote, maybe it's because a lot of Orthodox Jews in New York are not wearing masks and socially distancing. That's the claim. I don't doubt that I believe there's a correlation. But the difference is, do you get to roll the dice, say I'm not gonna hide in my basement for the next 6 weeks,
right,
or go out and live your life, take chances, wear your mask when you want to, but I'll be, pardon my French, damned if stormtrooper is going to tell me I'm going to get fined if I've got my door propped open, or if I leave my basement, or if I'm walking by myself in a park without a mask on. Mark,
you have touched on this is so huge going up to the election, and I think we might call it COVID positioning, in that the Biden positioning statement is to wear one mask, maybe two, maybe five, and to never be seen in public for the most part. The Trump positioning is to welcome 15,000 people to a rally if they want to come.
Right.
And in between those is probably most people. I know a lot of people are going to totally vote for Trump. They ain't going to a rally. And I know a lot of people who are probably a little more cautious, but they're not walking around, you know, wearing a mask, hiding under the bed. So those are the borders. That's where the COVID positioning realm is set up. And now here comes tonight's debate, where this is probably a topic as well.
I hope it is, because I truly believe that Biden's going to lock the country down again. He has said it before. I hope it comes up tonight. It's very important that this come up. I think it's way more important. I think the Hunter Biden thing is
absolutely
a big story.
Absolutely.
But I don't know that it's got enough.
Does it move a vote? Does it change
a single
vote? I don't know that it does.
But do you think, ask your audience, do you think facing a 4, 6, 8 week lockdown will?
Yeah.
Because we can't do it, Mark. We can't do it. People, this business owner on tape, he's saying, I'm struggling. I'm trying to make a living here. I've got a family to feed. I'm begging you, please don't give me a court site. And incidentally, there is a happy ending to this. As I understand it, I got a note this morning. Mm-hmm. They've thrown out all the violations summonses for him. So the city came to its senses, or the state, or whoever it is.
For only one guy, and because they felt a firestorm of public reaction because he got publicity.
Precisely. So for normal Americans all throughout the country who are told to lock down again, and I believe it, because I keep asking, all right, everybody keeps saying, the world keeps saying Trump he bungled the response. What would you have had him do? Well, national mask mandate, lock down the country.
Of course.
There are a lot of people on the left. They're afraid to say it out loud. I promise you, I've talked to them. If we have just stayed in our homes for 4 weeks, we'd be all right. That's their mindset. Now, good luck in America with 300 million people to stay in our house for 4 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever. Can't happen. But that's what they want.
And
that's
what
they
want.
That's what Biden will give them.
It is. And now here's a little obstacle. Two things about our national mood, our national psyche. Number one, we are almost too adaptive. I think we've gotten used to this. I don't mean a new normal, but anybody that's not personally ruined by this, we may have lost a little bit of our ability to empathize right. and properly know how much suffering there is out there because of the good lockdowns. Point. And the other thing is just our short attention span. Who remembers March? I can't remember last week. And
well, that's what they're counting on.
How scary and how weird and how terrible March and April were. And then things slowly began to open back up. And that's where we largely are. But the notion of returning to that, I don't think people have it freshly enough in their mind how ruinous that would be.
But Biden is counting on short memories. Biden is hoping you forget what that felt like to go out and buy toilet paper. And incidentally, they're doing it in New York City. Big article in the Post yesterday. There's now another run on toilet paper because they anticipate another big, massive lockdown here in New York. Here we go. It's like deja vu all over again. I mean, meanwhile, I hope you heard the tech executive, Twitter executive, who told CNN Tuesday night, Jake Tapper, they truly believe that social media should mute Trump, completely remove his Twitter account as they're counting the votes and going through the election process.
Sure.
As the votes are being cast, they think Trump needs to be muted. Mark, that is a mainstream position on the left. This censorship is terrifying. I told you about Facebook shutting down our Salem, Tampa station in anticipation of an event tomorrow night that Gorka and Elder
Charlie
Kirk are going to be at. They're not even making a secret of it anymore. They're not hiding it. They're doing it right in the open. They're censoring. They're shutting us down. And it's going to get worse if the Democrats win. I promise you, they don't tolerate dissent.
Exactly. No, right. Winning will not be enough. They won't go, okay, Biden won. Let's let our conservative friends up off the censorship, Matt. Not at all. They smell.
You heard
blood
what Robert Reich
water.
Said, right? The commission. Yeah, he wants a commission. Yes. Robert Reich. Look up Robert Reich's comments about establishing a truth commission when the Democrats win, so that all of us. I'm talking media, executives, politicians have an accountability for having supported the monster named Trump.
It'll never be enough.
Oh, no, they're coming for us.
What do you see tonight? What do you want tonight? What's in the Mike Gallagher debate crystal ball?
The president has a lot of momentum. Everybody knows that the polls are trending in the right direction. If you believe the polls, there is. Look at yesterday. And again, look at the contrast. President's going to pull back a little bit, but he can't help himself. He'll be Trump. Trump doesn't change. So he's probably not going to satisfy those who think he needs to pull way back and just try to let Biden hang himself or whatever. He'll get in there and mix it up. But, you know, he's going to win or lose based on him. He's going to win or lose on being Trump. He's not going to change. He's not going to become Mitt Romney. By the way, did you see Mitt Romney admitted he didn't vote for Trump this week?
Surprise.
Thanks, Mitt. Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Mitt. You're a real winner. That's great.
And then I'm going to steal 60 more seconds from you. The Amy Coney Barrett gets voted out of the committee today, not only without a single Democrat vote, but without a single Democrat. They are boycotting this morning's hearing. Well, it's not even a hearing. They're boycotting the gathering. It'll be no Democrats in the room. These are petulant toddlers.
Yeah, that'll show them. That'll really show them. Boy, they got them. They got us. Bunch of scoundrels.
Ready,
all
man.
I know is I got the popcorn out. I'm saving my
Let's
points.
Go.
Extra butter. Here we go.
We'll
break it all down tomorrow morning. And what Hugh Hewitt tonight on Case Guy and many stations around the country. I'll join him at about 7:45 to give a little pre-debate analysis.
Fantastic. Here we go. Fantastic. Mike Gallagher's ready. He is ready for you on his own show, Debate Analysis, tonight and with us tomorrow at this special time. Mike Gallagher, today at 10 on 660 AM, The Answer. Well, all righty. Let us cruise on out of this hour and into the next. 866-660-5759. We'll also tuck an ear into the Senate Judiciary Chamber because a Democrat-free environment may ensue. And pleasant though that may sound, oh my gosh, we'll see what gets said as Democrats have telegraphed that they may well boycott the vote that sends Amy Coney Barrett to the actual floor of the Senate, where the vote is likely, some say Monday, if not Tuesday, of next week. So that process continues. We'll listen in, and we'll listen to you at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.